Welcome to The Critique. We're here to help you sharpen your work.
And today, we're looking at a really interesting draft paper. It dives into technical debt and its effects on construction design performance.
Yeah, it does a good job introducing the idea, drawing that parallel with software engineering where, you know, the concept is pretty well established.
Right, showing how those small, maybe rushed decisions early on can stack up to big problems later, cost, complexity, all that.
And I think the paper presents the framework well. It acknowledges the tricky bits specific to construction, like that linear and litigious environment.
Mm-hmm. Which is key because you can't just copy-paste solutions from software, can you? It grounds the whole discussion.
Definitely. It builds that solid case for why technical debt matters in construction, calling design a, quote, messy process with lots of assumptions.
And it makes that important split between helpful and harmful debt, noting how it often ends up constraining things down the line.
That distinction is crucial, yeah. And actually, that brings us nicely to our first point for refinement.
Okay.
So, to really grab the attention of a busy construction professional, the introduction, and maybe the messaging overall, can hit harder on the direct consequences, the real so what of managing this debt.
Right, I see that. The intro sets the stage, talks about the messy process, how debt flourishes, but maybe it doesn't quite land the immediate impact for someone juggling daily project fires?
Exactly. And the authors seem aware of this, you know, with notes like, need a good title or thinking about an exec summary. That's good.
Yeah, they know what it is and why it matters in theory, but maybe that initial hook needs to connect more forcefully to the stuff that really keeps construction folks awake. Budget hits, delays, stress, quality issues.
Mm-hmm. It's like the paper explains the mechanics of the leak really well, but maybe the project manager doesn't realize their budget's already sinking until later in the text. The urgency isn't quite there at the start.
Okay, so the weakness is slightly burying the lead, maybe? Not foregrounding the immediate pain points enough in the opening paragraphs?
Precisely. So the suggestion is, well, reframe that opening. And weave that so what more explicitly more often, right through those initial sections.
Use more direct, kind of impact-focused language. Talk their language, basically.
Exactly. And for some concrete examples, think about the title. Could it be punchier? Something like Technical Debt, the Hidden Cost in Construction Design. Or maybe Unlocking Project Performance, Managing Technical Debt in Construction. Something that screams value proposition.
Yeah, something that makes them need to read it.
Right. And then the introduction itself. Maybe lead with a quick scenario or a statistic, even if it's hypothetical for now. Or pull from that PPC reduction idea mentioned later. Show how this debt translates directly into project failure or lost profit.
Like starting with something like, every late drawing, every guess made under pressure. That's not just a design tweak. It's interest piling up on your project's future. Something like that?
Perfect. That kind of directness. And when it mentions the rush to concrete, link it immediately to that vicious cycle impacting schedule, budget, quality. Don't wait until later. Make that link up front.
Got it. Highlight the urgency from the start.
And one more thing. Figure one, the rate and totality of design performance accumulation. Introduce it early and spell out what it means in terms of money and performance. Don't just mention it passingly. Make that visual hit home right away.
So they see the graph and instantly think about their own project costs.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Really dialing up the immediate relevance.
Exactly. Now, let's shift gears a bit. The paper does a great job classifying technical debt, right? Helpful, harmful, intentional, unintentional. It's a solid framework in Figure 4. Yeah, that breakdown is really insightful. Distinguishing between, say, planned technical debt, the stuff you do consciously for a good reason, and ignorant technical debt, the unintentional, harmful kind. That detail is definitely a strength.
It absolutely is, but you noted something important here. The paper says the trick is to determine which is at hand, especially since not all debt needs repaying.
Right, but how do you determine that? Especially when designers are, you know, satisficing, just getting something good enough under pressure. It feels like there's a gap there.
There is. It leaves a bit of ambiguity for a design manager on the ground. Is this shortcut okay? Is it planned debt we can live with? Or is it something we need to fix, like, now?
So the core issue here is moving from that excellent theoretical classification to practical, real-time decision-making tools. That bridge needs strengthening.
You've got it. which leads to our second critique point.
Okay.
While the paper's classification of technical debt types is robust, the practical tools for telling them apart in real time could be sharper for that busy design manager.
Yeah, the weakness is exactly that point we were just discussing. It highlights the challenge, the trick, but doesn't quite hand over the immediate how-to guide or quick checks needed on the spot. Especially with satisficing, it's tough for a manager to quickly judge, is this shortcut okay, part of the plan, or is it a landmine?
Precisely. So the suggestion here is to boost the actionable guidance. Outline clearer, maybe rapid assessment criteria. A framework a construction pro can use right then and there to evaluate a specific bit of debt. Is it helpful? Is it harmful?
Make it less theoretical, more applicable at the point it happens or is found.
Exactly. Move it from the page into their workflow.
Okay, so what would that look like? Some concrete examples?
Sure. We could suggest developing something like a technical debt triage worksheet. Simple questions a manager could ask right away.
Like what?
Like 1, does this constraint come from a confirmed, non-negotiable client need or project parameter? You know, site boundary, fixed budget. If yes, it might lean towards helpful.
Okay.
2, is it documented clearly as temporary? Is there a plan or trigger for fixing it later? If yes, maybe it's planned, potentially helpful.
Makes sense.
3, does it clearly help one discipline but demonstrably hurt several others without everyone agreeing? If yes, that probably leans towards harmful.
Right, a simple checklist to run through. I like that.
Another idea. Flesh out that Peter's passive fire compartmentalization case study. Make it a really vivid story of, say, intentional, harmful technical debt.
How so?
Describe designers maybe deliberately skipping detailed passive fire solutions early on, expecting the contractor to sort it out later. Show how that screws up the overall design and forces costly rework down the line. Make it a cautionary tale.
Ah, okay. Really paint the picture of the consequences.
Exactly. And one more. Maybe suggest a process for design reviews. At key gateways, designers don't just show solutions, but also explicitly list the technical debt they've accrued.
And classify it, planned, lucky, ignorant, harmful.
Yeah, and briefly justify why they classified it that way. It builds shared understanding, makes it part of the regular project rhythm.
Moves the concept into action.
That's the goal. Which brings us to the final area. The paper does introduce the concept well to construction, laying out the origins and impact.
Mm-hmm. And it's strong in acknowledging how construction is different. That linear and litigious environment, the lack of time, or frankly, willingness for method of refactoring like in software. It shows real understanding of the sector.
It does. And that's important groundwork. But here's where we see another opportunity.
Okay.
While it flags the differences, some of the proposed solutions, like refactoring or using automated pattern matching for design smells, feel a bit directly lifted from software.
Right, without maybe fully translating how you'd actually do that in construction's fragmented, multi-company, risk-averse reality.
Exactly. It might leave a construction manager thinking, okay, I get the idea, but how does this actually work on my project, right now? The real-world applicability could be clearer.
So the weakness isn't the ideas themselves, but maybe the lack of a specific construction-friendly adaptation or translation for some of them. It risks feeling a bit theoretical.
That's a good way to put it. The bridge between the software analogy and the construction reality isn't fully built for every recommendation, which leads to the third critique.
Got it.
While this paper brings technical debt effectively into the construction conversation, the proposed fixes could be tailored more deeply to the sector's unique culture and operations to really boost practical adoption.
Okay, and the weakness there is what we just touched on. It correctly points out the big differences between software and construction, the linearity, the litigation risk, no time for massive rework. But then some recommendations, like refactoring or automated smell detection, feel borrowed without a full construction makeover.
Right. It could leave managers scratching their heads about how to apply these concepts immediately, given the fragmented teams, temporary structures, and the general culture. The novelty is acknowledged, but the how-to for construction feels a bit underdeveloped.
Understood. So the suggestion isn't to ditch the ideas, but to bridge that gap. Offer more construction-specific versions or creative translations?
Precisely.
make the recommendations feel less like an analogy and more like tools designed for construction, ready to be implemented within their existing ways of working.
Okay, so concrete examples of how to do that. How do you translate something like refactoring for construction?
Well, instead of wholesale refactoring, maybe suggest something like a staged design reset at key project points, like maybe end of RBS stage 2 or 3, before novation perhaps.
What would that involve?
Explicitly scheduling a focus period, a mini sprint, just for structured review and paying down some of that accumulated debt. Not just another progress meeting, but a dedicated effort, maybe focusing on areas flagged by tools like dependency structure matrices, DSMs.
Okay, so a planned, bounded cleanup phase built into the schedule. That sounds more feasible. What about design smells and automated pattern matching?
Maybe develop construction-specific red flags or design audit checklists, things you could apply manually or semi-automatically using tools teams already have, like BIM clash detection or model checkers.
Like what kind of red flags?
Things like repeatedly using generic, non-optimized details when specific ones are needed, or failure to coordinate, say, a specific service route across different disciplines' models. Those could be flagged as potential smells needing a closer look.
So leveraging existing tech, but with construction-focused rules. Got it.
And finally, maybe focus on culture. Suggest creating a technical debt literacy program within teams. Build that shared language.
Make it okay to talk about it.
Yeah. Make logging self-admitted technical debt feel like professional responsibility, not admitting failure. Maybe anonymize initial reports in a kind of debt ledger. And crucially, make sure that ledger actually informs resource planning for fixing things.
Okay, embedding it culturally and procedurally. Those adaptations feel much more grounded in how construction actually works.
That's the aim. So just to recap briefly,
we've seen how getting a handle on technical debt can really make a difference in construction.
Absolutely. It's about sharpening that message for project leaders right at the start, making the so what crystal clear.
And giving them practical ways to distinguish helpful debt from harmful debt in the heat of the moment. Not just theory, but real-time tools.
Right. And then making sure the solutions offered really fit the construction environment, translating good ideas into workable practices for the sector.
Those actionable steps we talked about, the triage worksheet, the construction-specific red flags, reframing that intro to hit on project impact, those are just starting points, ways to really enhance this important work.
They are indeed. We really encourage the author to take these ideas on board, perhaps implement some, and send the revised material back to us.
Yeah, we'd be very interested to see how these insights evolve and how they can further empower the construction industry.